Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changing Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, author of A Boy Who Knew Too Much, Kathy Bird.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Greg McFall. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I was at, I stayed at a hotel this weekend, and a friend and I went and had dinner at the hotel downstairs in one of the lobby restaurants, and we ordered a San Pellegrino sparkling water bottle. And we didn't end up drinking. As a matter of fact, we didn't end up touching it. So I said to my friend, you know what? I'm going to take this up to the room, and then, you know, maybe we'll have it later or something. It was open, so I was holding it in a way that one would hold an open bottle. And so anyway, she went one way, and I went into an elevator on my way to my room. And I'm holding this bottle, and the elevator that I went into was packed with people already that had come up from lower floors. And as the doors closed, I hear this little voice say, "Wow, you're ready to party." And I looked around to see where that came from, and I had to look down because it was a little boy. I mean, he couldn't have been like 6 or 7, maybe 8. I don't know, maybe younger. And I looked at him like, how does he know about partying? And then I looked at the bottle and I said, with San Pellegrino water, that's a good party. And the dad says, it's water, son. And the little boy, I don't know what made him say that. Like, what would make a little boy say something like that in a crowded elevator? Because some guy's holding a bottle of water. Now, he obviously didn't know it was water. But what got me was, it's like, how does he know about partying? And this whole image of a guy walking around with a bottle is a party. And I thought, he's got to have learned this from his parents or his friend's parents, or maybe he's seen it on TV. And I thought, well, the things that the kids are talking about are the things that they know. So they either saw it on TV, or his dad or one of their friends or something walks around with a bottle, empty bottle, and says he's ready to party or something. And he just wanted to be cool, I guess, and be in with the crowd. The thing that made me think about mentioning this is that here we have a conversation about a little boy who's talking about things that most little boys have not seen on TV or have not seen their parents talk about or have an intelligent conversation about. Most people don't talk about what we're going to be talking about, which is reincarnation. And I thought, how interesting that here's a little boy, 8 years old, and he's talking about things. Like, if he said that to me in the elevator, like if he said, oh, I remember you from another life, I probably would have dropped the bottle. But like, what? But anyway, but I think that would have been much more interesting conversation than, oh, you look like you're ready to party. So I love the fact that we're putting out a different conversation on another level, and it's coming through the eyes and mouth of a child, and then through his mother, who wrote a book about this, and can't wait to bring Kathy into this conversation. Kathy Bird is on our show with her book, The Boy Who Knew Too Much, a really interesting story about reincarnation and many other things. And then a little later on, live music here in the studio with Greg McFall and his band, all on The Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark Legere, ready to partay.
You know, the irony of that is I was thinking as I was listening to your story that you went to this restaurant, had dinner, and you ordered a bottle of sparkling water.
Right.
That was it.
No,
and
I
then
didn't
you left
say that.
And went up to the room.
We finished the drinks with our dinner.
Oh, you had a
That's
whole
That's why
dinner.
We didn't touch okay. the bottle of wine. The bottle of
just
water.
Just wanted some clarification because I'm thinking, little does he know. That's great. Yeah, really excited for tonight's guest, for this book, for you know, this conversation. I think that this isn't something that is talked enough about in a you know, modern day or mainstream sort of way, and in a kind of a free sort of way. And I think it's one of the most natural conversations that's starting to become more of or more of the consciousness and more of the awareness. So I'm really excited to explore it further.
Me too. Well, let's wait no further. She is an author. She is a realtor. She is a baseball mom of a young baseball player who at a very young age was saying he remembered himself as an adult baseball player from the past who happened to be Lou Gehrig. So she's written a book about this experience that the boy shared with her, the boy being Christian Haupt, and the book being The Boy Who Knew Too Much, an astounding true story of a young boy's past life memories. Welcome to the show, Kathy Bird.
Hello. I didn't know I was going to laugh so much.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
We're just getting warmed up.
Well, but actually, you know, we'll talk about it later, but actually your son has done that to people saying, I remember you from a past life, right?
Well, the elevator, you said you were in an elevator. So
right.
One thing that really caught my attention, around the age of two, my son was very advanced at baseball at a young age, referred to almost as a prodigy by the media.
Yeah.
And Adam Sandler spotted him on YouTube, and we ended up going to Boston where he did a movie where he played a baseball-playing cameo role. That's where he first started making comments, you know, that kind of got my attention. But
That's My Boy, by the way.
That's My Boy,
with Adam Sandler.
Correct. So he made a few comments, like he got very upset by a picture of Babe Ruth and said, I don't like him, he was mean to me.
Mm.
But odd, right? But nothing really life-shattering. I didn't know really what he was referring to. We came home and he said, Mommy, I was a tall baseball player. And I said, yeah, you're going to be a tall baseball player someday. You know, of course, thinking probably not, but I'll just tell him he will be.
Yeah. Well, but you're also thinking in the future. Yeah, he's thinking in the past.
I finally figured it out because he said, no, I was tall like Daddy. And I said, you mean you were a grown up? And he said, yes. So that was the first time. But then the elevator, that's what got me. That was right after his third birthday. We were in an elevator in Calabasas at the Mercedes dealership. I was taking him to a party there. He'd just woken up from a nap, and he got in the elevator, and he said, Mommy, this elevator kind of looks like a hotel. And I was like, yeah, it kind of does. And he said, when I was a tall baseball player, when I was tall like Daddy, I used to stay in hotels almost every night. And I said,
wow.
I said, really? And I said, did you fly on airplanes? Kind of joking, right?
Yeah.
And he said, no, mostly trains. So then what happened, and my husband, his father, was at this event we were going to, and I said, you're not going to believe what he just said. So we both thought it was strange, but we didn't know anything about baseball. My husband is German, from Germany, a tennis player. We're not baseball people. I went home that night, and I Googled, did Babe Ruth travel on trains? And he did travel on trains. So I just started to kind of go, maybe there's something to this.
Thinking maybe he was Babe Ruth.
Thinking, I didn't know what it was. But so I went to my pastor. The first thing I did was I came up with a whole list of the things he had told us. Like, you know, when I was a tall baseball player, we played our games during the day because there were no lights. And we wore metal cleats, but we didn't wear helmets.
He was saying this at what age?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Those things were a little bit later. Three was when most of the comments came out.
Wow.
Some of the other things came out later. He spoke about it basically from the age of two until about the age of six. But I went to my pastor and laid out the things that he had said up to that point. And the pastor sent me back an email kind of insinuating that he might be possessed by the spirit of a dead person. So as a mother, that was not what I wanted to hear, right?
Yeah.
So I went back to the internet and I found a woman named Carol Bowman who researches children's past lives and found out that there was thousands of cases of children between the ages of 2 to 6 who recall past lives, 2 to 6, 7, 8, that there were patterns, very specific patterns about how the children would bring these memories up. It was usually right before bed at night, which was exactly what our son was doing, Christian was doing, except for the elevator one, and he had just woken up from a nap. So it was either in that drowsy phase.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And so, you know, that kind of opened my mind a bit, but I still wasn't a believer in reincarnation because I was a Christian. And it was something that I had a lot of guilt around even entertaining that idea, right? I think in the 70s when I grew up, anything on reincarnation was in the occult section, which was forbidden. Times have changed a bit, but I don't know how much.
Right, right. Well, obviously, right. Because you went to your pastor and that's what you know, what came out.
Right, right.
So, or what came up. What did you start to do? Something about showing him pictures. How did that come about?
So Carol Bowman was the one who said, what you need to do is, first of all, ask him only very open-ended questions. You don't want to lead him into an answer. Speak about it when he brings it up, which was always right before bed, and show him photographs. Show him photographs from Babe Ruth's era. So I went ahead and printed out photographs of the Yankees, teams that Babe Ruth played on. And I kept him by the bed. Sure enough, he started talking about it before bed one night. And I brought out the photographs. And I said, do you see anybody in this picture who might not like Babe Ruth? You know, that kind of brought it up that way.
Okay.
And so he pointed to a stocky guy with dimples. Didn't know a name, obviously. He just pointed at this guy. And I showed him more pictures. And he kept pointing to the same guy.
Oh, wow.
So then I did research and said, Yankees, 1927, Yankees, dimples. And that's when Lou Gehrig came up. I mean, my son is a lefty. He's a natural lefty.
And Lou Gehrig was as well.
Lou Gehrig was a lefty. Babe Ruth was a lefty, too. Through this process, I learned a lot about baseball and you know, just going through all of this history. I was not a history person before this either. But it was quite a journey. I also went into, like, the history of religion. I went into many different religions and, you know, basically saw that the core of all the religions is love, compassion, a belief in a higher power, the belief that our souls survive death. But I did see that in many religions, like in Judaism, Christianity, there were mystical religions where scriptures that had been taken out of the Bible survived. Anything that referred to rebirth or reincarnation was actually taken out of the Bible during the time of Constantine in 325 AD. Mm. And then in 385 AD, even speaking about rebirth or reincarnation became a crime punishable by death.
Wow.
Which was news to me, too. But then I thought, hey, maybe that's why I feel so guilty even thinking about the idea of reincarnation. Maybe this is like ages old, this
because
guilt.
In a past life, you talked about it.
And some... maybe. And I got killed. And you got killed. You are so bright. or smart ass, I'm not sure. No, but you're funny. And you know what? I've had to have a big sense of humor with this thing because being a skeptic myself, it's taken a lot to have me come around. And even in the book, what I do is I really just lay out the evidentiary moments, exactly what occurred chronologically, and I really leave it up to the reader to interpret. I really try to do that rather than saying, my son was Lou Gehrig.
Yeah.
So, of course, when I went on Inside Edition, I said, so, do you think your son was Lou Gehrig?
You said, of course.
I kept beating around the bush.
I saw it, actually.
And then when they asked Christian, it was great because the host shows him a picture of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, and he says, so, do you think you were him? And my son says, yeah, like right away. And I said, isn't he so much easier than me?
Well, because you're also an adult. You've had a certain programming.
Right.
And so you're breaking all this. And then you also have a life with, you know, other people in your life. And did you wonder a little bit what they thought?
Right.
Or what they would say?
Well, and I was struggling to figure out what it was, you know. And so the book, the first half of the book really deals with Christian's past life memories. And we had in the middle of the book, Dr. Tucker from the University of Virginia comes to our house. He's in the medical school there. Since 1967, they've collected 3,000 cases of children who recall past lives.
Wow.
Really interesting research. Dr. Tucker's written a book called Return to Life, which profiles a lot of those cases. But while Dr. Tucker was at our house, Christian said to him, well, I picked her to be my mom.
Nice.
And I thought that was odd. And then Dr. Tucker said, well, where was she? And my son said she was being born. And then he said, where were you? And my son said, in the sky.
In the sky.
which I thought was kind of interesting, but it wasn't right before bed. So I thought, this is weird. And then Dr. Tucker proceeded to tell me later that many of these children who recall past lives also tell very detailed, specific stories of choosing their parents.
You know, actually, we're going to take a break. But during the break, I want to do the math to see when Lou Gehrig passed and when you were born, to see if he would have been in the sky to be able to watch you be born. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break.
I better get my calculator out.
And when we come back, you'll get the answer, but you won't get the actual age and all that stuff. And then we're going to talk some more about this fascinating story. And a little later on, live music here by Greg McFall, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Kathy Bird. We've been talking about her book, The Boy Who Knew Too Much. And The Boy Who Knew Too Much is Christian Haupt. I don't think he knew too much at all. I think he knew exactly what he knew more than we know, it sounds like. He's done a lot of fun things since he was discovered on YouTube because his mom put a video of him playing baseball, and then Adam Sandler saw that, and he played in That's My Boy, or had a little cameo role, and he was the youngest person to ever throw a ceremonial first pitch at a Major League Baseball game. And by the way, his YouTube videos have been seen by 17 million people. Well, a lot more now that you're live on
it's
the Life Changes show.
So,
and
now
it's 18. See, already it happened. That was quick. Anyway. Mark, we should shout out to somebody for introducing us.
Yeah, we want to say thank you to a previous guest for the Life Changes show and a mutual friend, Heather Murphy, for introducing us to you. And
thank you.
Shout out. Hey, Heather.
Thank you. Love you, Heather.
And I wanted to mention real quick, you know, I've been part of the reason I'm so excited about this topic and having this conversation, why I wanted to meet you, is I have a 9-year-old. And interesting, I won't go into the whole story tonight, but we had a reading from a medium that told us a story, giving us like a little bit of guidance of how we should interact with him because of this past life story and that he had died at a young age. And then at about 3 or in between 3 and 4, one morning he woke up and he told us the whole story in detail, not knowing he was telling us that. He said it was a dream. But he proceeded to tell us the whole exact story in graphic detail. It was really, really chilling and interesting.
Wow.
And so I kind of resonate with your story in the way of that discovery.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Wow. Thank you for that. Well, so before the break, I asked you a question, and so we did the dates and the math and everything, and it all checks out. So Lou Gehrig would have, who died before his mother, would have had to wait for her to pass, and then for her to be reborn, which oh, well, we haven't, there's a punchline. Okay, so okay. Tell us the punchline.
So, Christian, when I showed him photographs, I also showed him photographs then of Lou Gehrig's family at Carol Bowman's suggestion, and I showed him a picture of Lou Gehrig's parents, and he was able to identify their names from a fictitious list of names.
Wow.
And then he said, "Why weren't you there then? I like you better." And then within minutes, he said, "You were her," about Lou Gehrig's mother. So I never took that very seriously. However,
he was very close to his mother. I mean, that's like a big deal that him and his mother were very tight.
Very tight. Very tight.
So interesting that here he wants to come back with his mother again.
Right. Very tight. However, they were a bit estranged at the end of his life because his wife really kept that relationship separate. She didn't want him to see his mother.
Okay. So now you have an interesting story about this.
Okay. So when Dr. Tucker came to our house and Christian said he chose me to be his mother, he was leaving and I said, you know, I love that you're so scientific and you don't believe in this hypnosis and past life regression. And he said, well, actually, some amazingly detailed facts have come through regressions that are very difficult to explain. And I thought, oh my goodness, here is a medical doctor, like, not endorsing regressions, but kind of open to the idea. So I went and did, 4 days later, a past life regression and immediately went into the life of Lou Gehrig's mother. And I have the regression transcripts on my website with 6 hours of recordings at 3 different sessions where basically every detail of this woman's life came through down to children who died, how they died. I went and got birth certificates, was able to confirm it, her own death. I confirmed it by ordering her death certificate. Amazing, amazing details. And down to, I described a family that I lived with. It described a 10-year-old little boy, a 7-year-old little girl with short brown hair.
Wait, a family you lived with when
I was Mom Gehrig.
Before he was born?
Before he was born. So this was, this was when she was at the end of her life.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this was the end of her life. She died in 1954. So I said, I lived in this house. He asked me if I owned anything. I described very specific jewelry that I wanted these kids to have. I wanted the little girl to have this charm bracelet from Japan. I wanted the boy to have a watch. So then I didn't believe in it. I came out of hypnosis and thought, okay, this is just odd. But then I ended up going to Cooperstown.
It is odd.
It's odd. And I didn't quite believe it. I'm not a believer in all this stuff, you know. But I was curious and I was on a quest to figure out, was the stuff that Christian told me even true? So I think I was kind of going to the ends of the earth to say, okay, if this is true, then maybe his stuff was true too. You know, I was still not totally embracing this whole thing.
And how was your husband in all of this? His
father was kind of aloof and just like, you know, don't talk about it. Maybe he'll forget about it. And, you know, he believes in all of it now and he's definitely on board with it, but he was not wanting to delve into it. And I ended up going to Cooperstown. I had access to all the Gehrig files because my son played for a Hall of Fame member on a travel baseball team. So we got access to all that. And I found a lot of information that validated my regressions, found out about the feud between Lou Gehrig's mother and the wife of Lou Gehrig and all these things that validated my regressions where I said we didn't get along well. And I ended up finding this kid, this 10-year-old little boy who was now a 73-year-old pastor in North Carolina. He had spent his whole life helping witches get out of witchcraft in Salem, Massachusetts. It gets even stranger.
Wow.
And I had to go to this guy and say, did you inherit this jewelry from Lou Gehrig's mother? And my son thinks he was Lou Gehrig. And he basically, I sent him the regression transcripts. I sent him the tapes. And he listened. I described the floor plan of the house that he lived in as a little boy, where Mom Gehrig used to sit on the couch and do crosswords and read the New York Times. And I described the jewelry. And he said, you know what? Our family has that jewelry. My little sister did have short brown hair. They were 3 years apart in age, which is exactly, I said, 10-year-old and 7-year-old. And they had the jewelry. And the most interesting thing, his family didn't have money to insure it at the time because it was very worth a lot of money, very valuable. And so they built a safe under their house and kept it there and didn't tell people they had it. So when I went to them to ask them about it, it's not like people knew that they had inherited this jewelry. That's where I became a real believer. I was like, okay, this is a bigger than me. It's bigger than us. And the real message is not reincarnation necessarily. another interpretation. Pastor
the real
Ken.
Message, you better not do shit in this lifetime because you're going to come
karma.
Back.
Karma. Yeah. No, but so Reverend Ken, very interestingly, doesn't believe in reincarnation, but he verified all the details. So here's the interesting thing for me as a Christian. It helped me because he said, Kathy, this is information and knowledge that cannot come from rational experience, but it comes from being in the flow of God. So he believes that Christian was channeling Lou Gehrig from another dimension, that I was channeling the mother because they needed closure in their relationship. So that's his interpretation. So if people are comfortable with that, but you can't deny what came through.
Right.
And so really the message to me is that our souls survive this earthly existence, that love can surpass one lifetime. The reason I wrote the book is for people who are dealing with grief, losing a child, losing a parent, to know that that person, that soul is forever with them, and they can communicate with that soul, and they may enter other lifetimes. And I just feel like it's a message of hope. Christian had a great saying. We were seeing Hidden Figures, that movie, and we came out of there and he said, Mommy, people should be nice to black people because they could be a black person in their next lifetime.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting. My publicist wouldn't let me talk about that because she said, Kathy, you're not black. That's
not
cool.
But you're talking about it now.
So with you, I can. I couldn't say it on TV, I guess.
So interesting. That's an interesting thing. I was about to say, I definitely believe there's something. And it could be reincarnation. It could be other things. So the channeling thing, that's interesting that Pastor Ken says that you all in the past life or they needed to figure something out. So and obviously the mother needed to figure something out with his wife, right? With Lou Gehrig's wife, right? So as a surprise to you, we've brought in the reincarnation of his wife today.
I know. She's going to get me after she reads my book. I keep saying she's going to come back and get the last word, but not until our movie comes out.
Not until the movie comes out. Okay. Well, it's good that you're able to it sounds like you went through this process rationally and methodically.
Skeptically, right?
And it's great that you did it at that time, because what seems to be starting to happen to Christian as far as his recollections now?
Right. So he followed the pattern that many of these children follow. On his sixth birthday, we took a trip to the East Coast, and he spent a lot of time at Lou Gehrig's old home. We became friends with the owners, and we went to Lou Gehrig's grave.
And he remembered?
He said some things. I mean, it was towards the end of his memories, but we were on the porch, and he said, this is where Babe Ruth used to smoke. And Babe Ruth did live in that house with the Gehrigs.
Wow.
That was another story, is that Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth were best friends, and they had a big falling out and then never spoke. Like, for the last 7 years of their life, they were estranged. So that was kind of where, and Christian still has a bit of a grudge against Babe Ruth, if you can believe it.
Wow.
So what about forgiveness is another theme
so
in my book.
So you carry that stuff.
Those grudges.
Wow. You can't take it with you. Like, you can.
You can. The grudges. God forbid.
Wow. And maybe that's something that, you know, maybe he's going to, you know, maybe your son's going to meet the reincarnation of Babe Ruth in this lifetime, and it's about them figuring
it
out.
He's going to be on the other team, and I can't wait to see this story unfold.
Well, on our next show in about a year from now, I want to hear. So you were saying he's following the pattern of other children.
Yeah, he is, where the memories are dissipating. I knew it was starting to go away because he said, it's hard for me to remember now because God gave me a new brain. And it just disappeared like a dream. Almost when you wake up and you're trying to grasp the details of a dream and it just drifts and you can't catch it anymore. You really want to remember that dream.
That was what I started telling Filippo off the air. And we won't go too deep into it. We talked for about hours for this. But but when you are born, you're connected, right? There's a consciousness. There's an intelligence that helps you breathe, helps you grow, helps you expand, right? And that pureness, that connection to the parents, all of that is so pure, so innocent. And everyone from all faiths agree on the innocence of that child, right? But as you move into 8 and 9 is when the child starts to take on its ownership of its journey, which is where that brain has now started to develop. The ego, the identity has started to develop. So that shift from being open, let's say, if this is a theory for those that may or may not believe in it, but that being open to that now starts to, he's starting to step into, but I'm here to be Christian, right?
Myself.
And this is mine. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and as a parent, I really waited for that moment. Like I was like, when is this going to go away? You know?
Oh, really?
And when it finally did, it was lovely. And it was very hard to then go back and write the book. And I had a lot of fears around how it would affect my children. Mm.
Right, because you have a daughter older than Christian.
Yeah, three
right.
years older. And I worried. And my mom worried. We had to go to therapy over it because you're going to ruin your kids' lives. But we really came to the conclusion that the message was bigger than us, that this story came through for a reason. And the details that came through were just so vivid and real. We couldn't ignore it.
When we come back, we'll revisit the message quickly. But in the meantime, we do want people to know that the book is available all over. Mm-hmm. And you could learn more about, and I didn't know about these tapes or these transcripts. I want to go hear them. And they're at Kathy-Bird.com. And that's Kathy with a C, C-A-T-H-Y dash Bird, B-Y-R-D.com. So we'll have a little bit more with Kathy Bird when we come back and The Boy Who Knew Too Much. And after that, live music here in the studio with Greg McPhail, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest. She's an author, she is a realtor, and she's a baseball mom of a young son who remembers a past life as Lou Gehrig. So the website, again, is Kathy with a C, C-A-T-H-Y-Bird, B-Y-R-D.com. You'll want to know that in case you're interested in the transcripts and other things. You can get the book there and also more information about what's happening with the movie and all that, which I know we're not supposed to talk about, so we won't. But there's a movie coming. But read the book. It'll be better. That's just how it goes. I understand. No. But anyway, so read the book, then see the movie, and then tell us again the message behind, like, because you went out on a limb. So
yeah.
What's the message you want people to get away, walk away with?
Okay. So the real takeaway is that love never dies.
Wow.
And that our souls will survive death. We will see our loved ones again, and to have faith. Another message that came through was life is an adventure, that we choose this life. Like Christian talked about choosing me to be his mother. So my theory, it's not in the book, is that we're in spirit form and we see people down on earth having a great time swimming in the ocean, eating an ice cream cone. And when you're in spirit form, you can't have that physical sensations, right, of holding a little child's hand. Mm-hmm. And so we go back down and we say, okay, I'm ready to learn some more soul lessons. And really the one who loves the most wins, right? We sometimes go down this path. We think materialism and all these things are the answer, but not. And that we're really here to enjoy life. So I've really tried to put more levity. And every time I eat an ice cream cone, I'm like, this is why I came back to the earth. You know, I try to really enjoy things.
And you weren't like this before.
No. I liked ice cream, but not that much.
I feel like holding your hand for a second. This is why
this
we
is
came.
It. Okay, that's it.
Who was I during that time? That's what I wanted.
King
know.
Arthur.
King Arthur. No, not I. Surely not I. But King Arthur and Lou Gehrig did not live in the same time.
Oh, okay. Well, we might have been
Now, back to history. Go back to history.
Told you, I'm not good at history.
You've learned a lot, and thank you for sharing a lot. This is exciting that this conversation is happening, and I know you've been on a really busy book tour, so I'm glad that you stopped in to do this, but I hope there'll be many, many more interviews so that the conversation keeps going and the book becomes a bestseller and all that good
stuff.
Thank
you. It's a number eight ebook this week.
That's awesome.
Right? So that was a big one.
And a great forward
by Jack Canfield, who's been wonderful.
Yeah.
This has been the most fun interview that I've done so far.
I'll just
tell you guys that. It's a big compliment.
Oh,
sorry, Jenny McCarthy. No. She was great too.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for being with us. Hang with us, if you will, because we've got some exciting stuff coming up. And one of the most exciting parts of our show is the Ask Dorothy segment. So Dorothy Lee Donahue, our executive producer, has joined us in the studio for the Ask Dorothy segment.
All right. Dorothy, Elizabeth in Anaheim asks, Dorothy, I need help as quickly as possible. My life is unraveling, and on top of many health challenges, I have now discovered that my new residence is full of toxicity and even more chemicals than the place I just vacated. I need to sue these people, and I just finished my lawsuit against the other place, and I'm in the midst of a hit-and-run lawsuit. What can I do to fix my life?
Elizabeth, it appears to me that you're stuck in this game called life and that you are presently playing the role of victim. I believe life is a game we choose to play before we incarnate on this beautiful planet. We choose whom we want to play it with. We not only make up the game and ask others to participate in it with us, we set the rules in motion. After having been caught up in the game for so long and having played it as a victim and a loser, I now know that since we have made it up, we can change the rules anytime we choose to, once we recognize that it is only a game. Like you, I once was so caught up in the game of being a victim. I played this role very well. I also played the life is not fair game, the I don't fit in game, the nobody can hear me game, and the I'll never be good enough game, the if only I love him enough he will change game, and my number one job is to take full responsibility for my partner's actions and reactions game, and the game of blaming everyone else for everything that was wrong in my life game. What game or games are you caught up in, Elizabeth? And are you willing to change the rules you have set in motion? Can you think of a really good reason that you didn't check out your new residence to see if it was toxic before you moved in? Or could it just be that you needed to create more drama? I have proved to myself that we are the power in our world, and that if you can choose to change your thoughts, your words, and your actions, you can change your reality, just like I did. Focus on the good, and thank Source for the assistance you need to change. It will be provided if you come from a place of trust, faith, and knowing that you are the power in your world.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Am I allowed to clap?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I want to read your book.
I was about to do woo-hoo. And if you have a question for Ask Dorothy, simply ask Dorothy at lifechangesshow.com. That's Ask Dorothy at lifechangesshow.com with your questions for Dorothy. Well, we will be right back after this with live music here in the studio with Greg McFall on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes. thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
And we're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Kathy Bird. And joining us in the studio is Greg McFall and his whole band. So first of all, Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Greg is a bassist, a composer, and a songwriter. Mm-hmm. And we got to meet Greg when he came in to play bass with Chris Murphy. So yeah. Thank you, Chris Murphy, for introducing us. Mm-hmm. So, Greg, I'm sure you get asked this a lot. So who were you in a past life? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
When you were here last time, you played the upright bass. Uh-huh. And so now you're playing the electric bass. Not all bass players do both.
Correct.
So tell us how and why you can.
It's magic. It's pure magic.
Okay. Because it's a whole different instrument.
It is a different instrument. This electric bass is much easier to play.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Much easier.
Electric bass players are happy to be hearing that.
Yeah,
right
exactly.
Now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I played upright in college. I was in a salsa band in San Jose State University. That's where I went to undergrad. I'm from San Jose originally.
Nice.
And a friend of mine hurt his hand. And he couldn't play in the salsa big band we had, and so the teacher, you know, said, if you want the gig, you can do it, and we'd really love you to play the upright bass. And I had never done that before, so I took a year of classical lessons because we didn't have a jazz teacher at the time there, and that's how I started playing that instrument.
Wow! Yeah. And music, is that when music started, or music started way before that?
Music started before. My sister is 4 years older. She's a marvelous singer and piano player, and okay. So I started on, you know, all the things that people do. But I really fell in love with the guitar when I was like a junior in high school. You know, got my stepbrother's acoustic guitar and a Led Zeppelin songbook. And, you know, I'll never work an honest job again.
Ready to party.
That was in Hollywood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you also are a composer. You compose for TV commercials and all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff, shows. And
yeah, so, exactly. That's more of a budding part of my musical career. I went back to grad school at Cal State LA, and I graduated in 2014 with my master's in commercial music there. So it's a lot of, you know, film scoring and songwriting, kind of everything that we do in LA, you know. So still trying to find my voice, you know, building those relationships and stuff. But I just did a thing for a web series that won a little award.
Nice.
I got to walk the red carpet.
No, nice. Well, one of the things that we do in LA, and we do it well, is red carpets and premieres and all that. And you're going to be dropping your very first CD ever this coming weekend. So share with us about that.
Yeah, well, actually, it started as my master's project. Because I just basically, I told my professors, like, I want to write a rock album. I don't want to score a film. And they're like, okay, fine. Put the gun away. And they signed the paper. And so then after I graduated, I just continued working on it and basically got it ready to put out. And it's just been a really long process because it's more than I've ever wrapped my mind around. Usually just people tell me what I'm going to play and where I'm going to play it, and I just show up and I do my thing. So this has been a very amazing experience learning everything from writing the songs. I recorded, I tracked everything. I played all the instruments, which I'll never do again, but it was fun at the time.
Wow.
And then I mixed it myself, which is another big mistake, but I learned a lot. And, you know, luckily had it actually mastered by somebody who knows what they're doing. And then I did a Kickstarter to get everything going, and so it's finally happening.
So when's the pâté?
The pâté. So, yeah, so we're playing a show.
I got San Pellegrino. I'm going to come.
Yeah, I love it. No LaCroix. Yeah, this Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Hotel Cafe.
At the Hotel Cafe.
On the second stage.
So gregmcfall.com mm-hmm. is where people can learn about mm-hmm. that. And also on Facebook, you're mm-hmm. Greg McFall. And McFall, M-C-F-A-L-L. Was that?
Super transparent.
you make it really easy.
I will.
And fun. Okay, so your new album is called Trophy Wife, mm-hmm. and I think that's self-explanatory. And now you're going to sing a song from that?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What are we going to hear first?
The first song is called Another Lonely Night.
Another Lonely Night.
Yeah,
okay,
so
this
emo.
Is before or after the Trophy Wife?
This is during.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Well, we don't ask yes. the questions like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
so,
no, actually, you know, technically, this is before we were married.
Okay.
I did write
all
the
right.
song before
now,
we were married.
Now that he knows, he remembers she's listening. Okay, so.
Yes. Well, now so, that you mentioned it.
Yeah. Love you, honey. So, all right. Well, here in the studio, along with Greg McFall, we have Kyle Blaine Perrin. And he's going to be playing guitar, and Dave Ryan, he's going to be on percussions. So here's Greg McFall, he's going to be playing bass and singing his song, Another Lonely Night, from Trophy Wife, that's dropping this coming weekend, here live on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
It's just another lonely night. The stars are buried by my lazy silence. Can't nothing gonna make it right. I don't wanna do a thing besides this. I've been taken by your starry-eyed look. So please forgive me, I'm so sorry I took so long to tell you how I really do feel.
Probably 'cause he's so afraid.
There's comfort in the great divide. The sky's darkened with the song that I won't sing. For a second there I thought I might, but I don't wanna do a thing. Don't stop breaking your mind. A hysterical means to an end is now in sight. Always trying to fight. I'll take care of you. Stolen, can't ever seem to get it right. I'm so angry at this very moment. I'm addicted to the stories I tell. So please forgive me, I'm so sorry, I'm not always well. So long to worry and good riddance to fear.
Oh, the soothing sound, think this heart is coming around.
Don't stop breaking your mind.
Nice. Greg McFall and his band here at on the Life Changes Show. That is a song from the new first album that's dropping this week. It'll be available on iTunes and all over the place, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Greg McFall, I'll spell that. GREGMCFALL.com. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, on Facebook, Greg McFall. And then that's where they can also find, where did you say Spotify? What did you say?
Yeah, Spotify, yeah. iTunes, Apple Music, if you have Apple Music.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So you said something about using your voice different in the studio. Like you came in the vibe and something was happening. Can you share? Like,
yeah, sure.
It felt real organic and fresh.
Well, first of all, as I mentioned, like I played all the instruments on the album. And so this is the first time this week in rehearsals and doing this is the first time I've other people who actually get paid to play those individual instruments have brought their vibe to this music. So it's completely shifted the way I'm able to perform. It's made it much more soulful and rich.
Wow.
And so also in the intimacy of this studio and having this really just kind of like dry but warm sound and at this volume, at a lower volume, I'm able to express so much more with the songs than I've ever thought of.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to take this with me Friday in a sort of larger setting. Like, it's totally changed my perspective on what I am capable of doing.
Well, cool. So I'm glad. Cool.
Voice changes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So great. So I'm glad that you're going to be taking kind of this, what's happened here, into your weekend big event, and probably on into your next life, if you think. So,
okay. And you can write a book about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, Greg, what are we going to hear next?
This next song is called Heartmaker.
Heartmaker,
yeah. I was writing the song, and I got to this place, and I started just playing this chord, and I started saying Heartbreaker, and then I played another chord, and I said Heartmaker. And I just thought, that is so emo.
Yeah, nice.
And anyway, so that's how this happened.
All right. Well, we'll get to hear it here. This is the first time on radio, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
And first time with a band on radio and the first time singing the way you're singing, evidently.
First time doing everything. It's the first time I've ever seen
like a virgin
anybody here. Yeah. First time,
okay,
yeah.
So
first time I took a helicopter and landed on someone's roof.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
On the studio?
Yeah.
That's
you
how
didn't
you got
send
here?
That helicopter? Where am I?
Oh, man.
But they got you here. That's what matters.
I was a cat.
You're
in the form
here.
Of life, by the way. I was not a person. I was a cat.
Okay. Wow. All right. So, well,
nine
okay.
lives ago.
So here is Greg McFall performing Heart Maker live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
From the throat, separated from your thoughts. Think you're clever, but you're not. You can run and you can hide, but you can't entertain. You can eat your mind, but from your flesh, refrain. Holding your flowers from the stem, it's a hole in it's who I am. In a little red conversation, edited and bound. Consider this off the record. If I'm not around, how will they know which body they found? Heartbreaker, heartmaker. Feels like I won the rights to somebody else's idea of a fortune. Deep in my mind there's an art to finding it hard still to say it's gorgeous. Noose around my neck tells me who you are, meant to protect me from colliding stars. Holding your flowers from the veins, this is heaven, these are my brains. Scintillating and all together meaningful account. Containing this volume's leather, waiting for their sound. someone taking my turn. We're all here to protect you from your simple mind. The hounds are upon you, just wasting your time. You do goody good, you alternate in crime. Learn your lesson every time. Oh, you innocent boys have taken to the sky, stolen up a warrior's cry. I love you till the day I die. In a little red conversation edited and bound, consider this off the record.
All right. Nice. Thank you. Greg McFall, singer, songwriter, and bassist. Kyle Blaine Perrin on guitar. And Dave Ryan percussion. Awesome. So the CD is called Trophy Wife. It's available. Is it available already, or will it be available this weekend?
It's technically available, but it's not released.
Okay, it's not released
until
it's
Friday.
So you could actually get one before it's released on iTunes or Spotify or wherever records are had these days. So congratulations, and then to learn more about the party, that's this weekend. You go on Facebook and check out Greg McFall or gregmcfall.com. Awesome. Well, before we end the show, we've got a quick shout-out, right, Mark?
Yeah, quick shout-out again to our friends at Kulux Woodshed, which is a live music venue and multi-camera broadcast recording studio specializing in the promotion and celebration of singers and songwriters. All shows are webcast live with seating for 49 people. Artists range from beginners to Grammy winners. To learn more and to book a performance or a webcast, go to kulaxwoodshed.com, K-U-L-A-K-S, woodshed.com.
Thank you, Mark. And once again, thank you, Greg McFall, for being our musical guest today.
Thank you.
Filippo. You're welcome. Thank you, Kathy Bird, for being our guest today and coming in and sharing about your book, The Boy Who Knew Too Much. What a pleasure having you.
Thank you. Look forward
to connecting again. And, well, that's our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Legere, we want to thank Brent Hahn for being our musical director here at Studio NoHo. We also want to thank Doug Newsom at BBS Radio for being our program manager at BBS Radio Network. I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you, as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.